Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 3, 1989 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 4, Verse 29 and 30, and continues with the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 18.
For they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations like Lord Rama and even Krishna who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, Bajo Bajo Bhai, Chaitanya Nidai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Bishwasha Kuri. What is the process? The process is Bishoya Charya Sairase Mojiya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one must give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Mukhe bolo hari hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari, without any motive of sense gratification. Deko re bhai tribhuvane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, my dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process. And you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai!
Itai Gaura Chandra ki?
Jai!
Sankirtan movement ki?
Jai!
Gaura Premanandi.
Hare Krishna.
Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Mo Bishoye Gopi Gane Upapoti Bhave Joga Maya Kori Beka Apona Prabhave. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Purport. Yoga Maya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotee in different transcendental mellows. This Yoga Maya potency creates a spiritual sentiment in the minds of the damsels of Braja by which they think of Lord Krishna as their paramour. This sentiment is never to be compared with mundane, illicit sexual love. It has nothing to do with sexual psychology, although the pure love of such devotees seems to be sexual. One should know for certain that nothing can exist in this cosmic manifestation that has no real counterpart in the spiritual field. All material manifestations are emanations of the transcendence. The erotic principles of amorous love reflected in the mixed material values are perverted reflections of the reality of spirit. But one cannot understand the reality unless one is sufficiently educated in the spiritual science. Amiha na jani tatha na jane gopi gana duhar rupa gune duhar nitto hari mono. Amiha na jani tatha na jane gopi gana duhar rupa gune duhar nitto hari mon. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Reported, in the spiritual sky the Vaikuntha planets are predominated by Narayana. His devotees have the same features as he does, and the exchange of devotion there is on the platform of reverence. But above all these Vaikuntha planets is Goloka, or Krishna Loka, where the original personality of Godhead Krishna fully manifests his pleasure potency in free loving affairs. Since the devotees in the material world know almost nothing about these affairs, the Lord desires to show these affairs to them. In Golok Vrindavan there is an exchange of love known as Parakiya Ras. It is something like the attraction of a married woman for a man other than her husband. In the material world this sort of relationship is most abominable because it is a perverted reflection of the Parakiya Ras in the spiritual world, where it is the highest kind of loving affair. Such feelings between the devotee and the Lord are presented by the influence of Yoga Maya. Bhagavad Gita states that devotees of the highest grade are under the care of Daiva Maya, or Yoga Maya. Mahatmanas tu man parta dvaiving prakriting asritaha. Bhagavad Gita 9.13. Those who are actually great souls, Mahatmas, are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, always engaged in the service of the Lord. They are under the care of Daivi Prakriti, or Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya creates a situation in which the devotee is prepared to transgress all regulative principles simply to love Krishna. A devotee naturally does not like to transgress the laws of reverence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by the influence of Yoga Maya, he is prepared to do anything to love the Supreme Lord better. Those under the spell of the material energy cannot at all appreciate the activities of Yoga Maya, for a conditioned soul can hardly understand the pure reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee. But by executing devotional service under the regulative principles, one can become very highly elevated and then begin to appreciate the dealings of pure love under the management of Yoga Maya. In the spiritual loving sentiment induced by the Yoga Maya potency, both Lord Shri Krishna and the damsels of Raja forget themselves in spiritual rapture. By the influence of such forgetfulness, the attractive beauty of the gopis plays a prominent part in the transcendental satisfaction of the Lord, who has nothing to do with mundane sexology. Because spiritual love of Godhead is above everything mundane, the gopis superficially seem to transgress the codes of mundane morality. This perpetually puzzles mundane moralists. Therefore, Yoga Maya acts to cover the Lord and his pastimes from the eyes of mundaners, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says that he reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. The acts of Yoga Maya make it possible for the Lord and the gopis in loving ecstasy to sometimes meet and sometimes separate. These transcendental loving affairs of the Lord are unimaginable to empiricists involved in the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore the Lord himself appears before the mundaners to bestow upon them the highest form of spiritual realization and also personally relish its essence. The Lord is so merciful that he himself descends to take the fallen souls back home to the kingdom of Godhead, where the erotic principles of Godhead are eternally relished in their real form, distinct from the perverted sexual love so much endured and indulged in by the fallen souls in their diseased condition. The reason the Lord displays the Rasa Lila is essentially to induce all the fallen souls to give up their diseased morality and religiosity and to attract them to the kingdom of God to enjoy the reality. A person who actually understands what the Rasa Lila is will certainly hate to indulge in mundane sex life. For the realized soul, hearing the Lord's Rasa Lila through the proper channel will result in complete abstinence from material sexual pleasure. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation, purport of text 29 and 30 of the Chaitanya Charanamrita Adi Lila chapter 4. So just in the end of the Dwapara Yuga, Lord Sri Krishna displayed his transcendental pastimes. They're nicely recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The places of those pastimes are also nicely preserved by the efforts of Lord Chaitanya and his disciples, the Six Goswamis. And Lord Chaitanya came here, he's explaining how he wants to give the fallen souls the information of the pastimes, which are even amazing for him. In Vaikuntha, the Lord hears the prayers offered in the Vedas. Krishna says that when he hears, the Vedas is very pleasing to him, but he's more attracted, or even his mind goes away from listening to the prayers given in the Vedas, by the different loving approaches of his pure devotees who are serving him in these different relationships. Books written in India about erotic principle of serving the transcendental Lord. But even in India, these things are very esoteric. They're not very well understood. They're not widely broadcasted. This is why many people, they don't understand Krishna. It's frustrating for Srila Prabhupada, who is by nature a preacher, to see that Krishna is misunderstood. Even in Vrindavan, in his book Vrindavani Bhajan, which I translated but it's not been published yet, Srila Prabhupada commented that the Christian missionaries, they come to Vrindavan and they criticize Krishna. That why Krishna is having these amorous pastimes, why he's dancing Rasa Lila with young girls, what kind of God you're worshipping, you see. In India they know, here they don't even know about Krishna. I mean, they don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, so they're not so much prepared even to criticize on the basis of any understanding of our doctrines. They just imagine something that we do, that we're taking drugs or we're doing, which is completely bogus and false. But in India, they do their homework a little bit and they know, oh, Krishna steals butter and Krishna dances with gopis. So they come in there, the missionaries, and they criticize what kind of God you worship. He's a thief. He steals butter. And then he's stealing the girls' clothes. He's dancing at night in a moonlit night with young girls. So what type of God you're worshipping? And the Prabhupada was so frustrated that anyone in Vrindavan can easily explain to these, people from other religions, what is the glory of Krishna? What is the, what is actually the meaning of all these things? But instead the people are coming, they're criticizing, they're going and nobody opens their mouth in Vrindavan. So many Babajis, so many Gosais, so many so-called, Gosais, Babajis, and Prabhupada said, what are they, even Kanista Adhikari doesn't know what type of Adhikari they are, that how these people come in there and they don't preach at all. They don't tell them anything. And so they remain in their ignorance. So Prabhupada, he felt very critical in one sense, in a constructive way, that what's going on in Vrindavan, everyone comes here for worship, but these people come, they won't even open their mouth and tell him that what is the real story about what's going on. How this is the most confidential pastimes of the Lord, that the Lord has His highest realm, He has His majestic realm, He has so many different realms, but He has His highest realm where He engages in these loving pastimes. As a little boy, little boys always steal, now in America, you tell me little boys don't raid their refrigerator? If you look at occasionally, Dennis the Menace cartoon, is there in the paper, you glance at it, I don't know, maybe it's Aparad. But one time I saw that they was raiding the refrigerator. I'm sure that it's a common thing. So Lord Krishna, he would raid the... His mother didn't have refrigerator. She had godown. She had a little warehouse room, storeroom. And she kept butter and yogurt. So he'd raid it, but then he'd give it out to the monkeys. These monkeys would come and to get the butter from Krishna. But they said these monkeys are actually great sages, great saints who have got the blessing to come and get the butter from the hand of God while he's playing like a little boy. Similarly, childhood pastimes, then there's youthful pastimes, which are more more intricate and involved, where he starts to manifest the youthful pastimes with the gopis, where he's engaging in the Rasa Lila. When he plays his flute, the gopis, they think, well, I have another husband, I have a family, I can't go out. But he plays his flute and they go mad, they want to be with Krishna. So they want to join Krishna, they want to leave their room, they want to leave their house, they try to run out, they don't care what anybody thinks anymore, they don't care whether they're going to be criticized and whatever, they give up everything, all consideration, just to run to be with Krishna. But their parents are standing in the door, no, you can't go out, it's too late. You know, you can't go out, what's that, you know. So they lock him in the room. But their desire to be with Krishna is so strong that although their body is laying in the bed, they're in their spiritual form, they leave the body, they leave a body there that their parents see, and in a spiritual form they go and they meet Krishna. And there they're dancing with Krishna. So, in the material world, you have parents and you have people like that. In the spiritual world, you don't have people that obstruct, but you just have the thought that a dress rehearsal, not a dress like a rehearsal, but without the stage props. All the props aren't there, but you think they're there by yoga maya. They can't import demons into the spiritual world or heavy parents to stop the doorway. Anyone that's like not in the mood of the pastimes, they can't even get a ticket of admittance into the spiritual world. That's why sometimes when Krishna comes to the material world, and has these pastimes, it's also like, because here you can have all the actors, you can have demons, you can have everybody. So it's like a special full act, enactment of the pastime with all the players. But that these pastimes, although they appear like mundane sexual activities, they don't have anything to do with mundane sexual activities. Actually, when Krishna first started the Rasa Lila, he was 7 years old at that time, and gopis were the similar age. So 7-year-olds, it's not that their activities, even though they're dancing in the night, they're not having sexual activities. This is there, they dance, they splash water in the river on each other. Sometimes they would embrace, they would kiss. But they wouldn't engage in sex as it's known here in the material world. They weren't interested in sense gratification, but they're interested in trying to please Krishna. And Krishna wanted to please his devotees, because they wanted to serve him in this way. This particular means of serving Krishna allows the most variety and intensity of different emotions to be expressed. And the gopis are very creative in trying to make these loving affairs very complicated for Krishna. And Krishna is very expert. And so between the two, they're completely absorbed in these little different intrigues, which are the way of expressing and completely absorbing and trying to serve the Lord. So this is going on in the spiritual world. It's a reality. It's going on. That's why the mirror reflection, the perverted reflection, the material world, there is sex life. There are these things. But here it's not considered immoral. It's considered not so nice in comparison, especially parakhiya rasa. Married life is considered the highest. In the spiritual world, the parakhiya rasa is considered higher. The married life is considered one step lower. Both are there. Different moods of serving Krishna. In Dwarka, Krishna is served by the queens of Dwarka who consider themselves to be Krishna's wives. In Vrindavan, he's served by the gopis who consider themselves to be someone else's wives or to be unmarried. Although Krishna is the husband of everyone, where's the question of immorality when Krishna being the Supreme Lord? If we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, there's no question of morality. Everyone is his part. Everyone is his devotee. As the supreme person, as the supreme male figure, everyone, in one sense, is his his wife, or his energy. Someone wrote me, though, that the function of a wife is to consider herself to really be the wife of Krishna. But that never heard, because we don't know what our rasa is with Krishna. And we're not supposed to jump the gun. We may even have a woman's body, Unless by natural progress of Krishna consciousness, a person develops spontaneous devotion in a particular rasa, and at that point one is free from material desires, is transcendent material desires, to really know that that is a rasa that they develop, that they have manifesting with Krishna. No one can be 100% sure that when they leave this body, or in their spiritual form, what is their eternal relationship with Krishna. They may be a gopi, they may be a queen, they may be a friend of Krishna, they may be a parent, they may be a father. It's not assured because a person has a female body now, that in the spiritual world they're going to necessarily have a female body with Krishna. They have a female body in this lifetime because last lifetime they were attached to someone in a female body. They might have been a male in their last life and they were over attached to their wife or their girlfriend or their mother or someone. They left their body, they became took birth in a female body. And a female was attached to her husband or to some male, they took birth in a male body. Everyone in a male body was in a female body sometime in the past and vice versa. So the particular body we have now doesn't indicate what is that. There may be someone in a male body, that doesn't mean that he cannot have a relationship with Krishna as a gopi in the spiritual world. It doesn't also mean that everyone's going to be a gopi or what their particular relationship is going to be. So it's a bit dangerous if we start relating with Krishna on that level, because we can mix into it some kind of material sexual desires or material lusty desires. And Krishna really has nothing to do with this material body. Krishna is not concerned with any material woman's body. If we think that Krishna is somehow going to be attracted to a body made of, you know, just this machine made out of flesh and blood and mucus and bones and veins and, you know, lymph glands and so many other things which are there, skin and hair. That's not, the gopis are manifesting a beautiful form. They're decorating themselves. So that, just like women decorate themselves in this world to attract the person they love, so the gopis are dressing in order to please Krishna, that if Krishna sees them nicely decorated, Krishna will be pleased. Their desire is not for their personal sense gratification. They're happy when they see Krishna happy. Radharani in the Antya Leela, which we read before, we're going around the second time around on Chaitanya Charitamrita, she said that if Krishna will be more pleased with someone else, I'll go and become a slave or a servant in that person's house to get that person to agree to be with Krishna if she doesn't agree. I'll do anything to make Krishna happy. I don't have any other purpose in my life but to make Krishna happy. And she knows that sometimes that Krishna is happy even when she's angry at Krishna. If she shows being angry inside, she's happy, but outside she shows anger, then Krishna gets more, it's more intricate, the whole affairs. So here we're just giving us a little overview. But actually, Prabhupada explained that even in the Krishna book, he gave the Rasa Lila, he gives his pastimes in a basic form in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In some places, it gives him in great detail. In works of the six Goswamis, it gives him even in greater detail. But if by reading or hearing those pastimes, if somebody gets sexually agitated, if their material desires start to go, they're not pure enough to read any further on those subject matter. They have to go on chanting Hare Krishna, practicing devotional service. Maybe later down the road when they can hear the pastime and instead they're feeling some spiritual inspiration, they're actually feeling ecstasy in their heart, or at least they're not getting materially agitated, then they're qualified to listen. But if they're getting agitated, if somehow their mind is not purified enough that it cannot keep relating to these things as some kind of material sexual activities, and therefore they're material organs are becoming agitated or their mind is becoming agitated in this way, then it's just they're just too neophyte, and these are very, very elevated subject matter. But it's important at least to understand what they are, be able to explain it, even if one isn't pure enough even to get deeply into meditating on those pastimes. That may take years and years before one can really meditate on the pastimes and not be affected, because we've been in millions and millions of births, what to speak of years, in the material world where our whole body, mind, everything is completely programmed to sexual attraction. But by chanting Hare Krishna, by developing a little ecstasy in devotional service, like a little drop, then we can see that there's another whole spiritual universe of transcendental happiness with nothing to do with the material body. It's not dependent at all on any kind of material situation. The gopis, when they see Krishna, when Krishna is happy, they're feeling ecstasy inside. And Krishna, when he sees that his devotees are happy, he's feeling ecstasy. And all the pastimes are different creations of Krishna and his yoga maya for just creating unlimited circumstances for exchanging these transcendental loving relationships. Not based upon, you know, just like material senses. There's ecstasy in the spirit, but it's not dependent on rubbing the skin to against other pieces of skin or anything like that. It's something on an inconceivably higher spiritual level. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to give that information, to spread the glories, because these things are even enthralling and exciting and amazing for him, how intricate these different relationships are and how ecstatic they are. But to be able to explain them properly so people can understand. People love that in India. I mean, people will stay, if there's a Ras Leela, Vrindavan, people stay up the whole night to watch the Ras Leela. They love to see Ras performed by little children. It's nothing lusty or anything. It's something very pure, very beautiful. You see how, so in India, northern India, the Ras Leela has become very famous. Unfortunately, a lot of professional groups perform it, some better than others. Generally, little children perform it. Little boys dressed up as gopis and as Krishna. And even in South India, many people don't understand what is the Ras Leela, what are Krishna's pastime. Here in the West, people don't understand how beautiful is the whole culture of Krishna. And many times in India, they'll show a picture of Krishna with Radha, and it's some very lusty kind of a picture, probably. Wouldn't like, it's not. Then they're like, they're portraying them, you know, like older people in not a beautiful sense. And Prabhupada, he didn't like that at all. It's like, they don't have their taste. When they painted the pictures of Krishna coming back from the Kauri, he said, yeah, Krishna is too old. You keep him young. Keep the gopis young. 10, 11 years old. 8 years old, Krishna was just young. So, in regard to Krishna, then, Krishna is more pleased when one gives up all other considerations and just surrenders to him. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sarang bhajahantam sarva papebhyo mokshami ma sucar. When Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit, and they were offering a big feast to Krishna, and then Jagannath Mishra came with baby Chaitanya, and he said how Krishna had baby Chaitanya had said that it was only like 1.5, 2 years old, said there was a big Ekadasi feast being offered at Hiranya Pandit's and Jagadish Pandit's house, and he was crying, wanted to go there. So he brought him, and then he saw that the hundreds of preparations they were offering, huge spread before the deity. And they just looked at Lord Chaitanya, and then they immediately felt spontaneously attracted. They couldn't even explain it, just seeing Lord Chaitanya, because they were pure devotees. They didn't know that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna. They thought, well, they just wanted to give this offering to Lord Chaitanya. And they said, well, Krishna must have, their mind had to think something. So they said, well, Krishna must have inspired this baby. Otherwise, how he could know that we were offering? So they turned around, they offered everything to Lord Chaitanya, which is not according to the Brahminical thing, you should offer to your deity, but it's like their heart overwent their mind or their rules. But in this case, because it really was Krishna, that their own pure devotion overcame, you know, whatever rules or regulations there were, and by giving the offering to Krishna actually directly, they were getting so much mercy. When Krishna and Balaram were hungry and they asked the wives of the Brahmin for some food, and they went and they asked their husbands, can we give you Krishna and Balaram food? They said, no, let us finish our yagya here, then we can do this, that. You know, they gave so many. But then the wives of the Brahmin thought, you know, forget our square husbands, you know. Krishna and Balaram are hungry, even if there's an offense to our husband, let us give the feed Krishna and Balaram. Why should, you know? And so they risk, you know, getting chastised by their husbands because they were faithful, submissive wives. They would never disobey their husband. But they finally couldn't control themselves to serve Krishna and Balaram. And so they cooked the offering and they went and they offered it to Krishna and Balaram before the yagya was over. And the Brahmins were even commenting, actually, they're right because we're stuck here, you know, just in this yagya, and actually the Supreme Lord is coming here, and then we were saying, you know, wait till the yagya is finished, is that actually our wives are more advanced than we are. Because they're doing out of a mechanical regulator principle. And if someone has a spontaneous devotion for Krishna, that is something which is much more elevated, that's something which is much more transcendental than mechanically following some ritual. So, Krishna, he forces people to come above this mechanical type of devotion and reverence and just, you know, and come above to a spontaneous level where their natural love for Krishna is brought out. Or in the case of demons, their natural hate. He polarizes. You know, so even the demons get liberation in the presence of, they can't control themselves. They, Krishna! And the devotees, they can't control either. Krishna comes, you know, they just want to serve Krishna. So that was the unique, amazing thing about Krishna's pastimes, that he is so attractive that he would make people forget, whether they're moralist, he'd forget, make them forget their morality if they were, you know, empirical. When Krishna played his flute to the yogis meditating on the prior super soul in the heart, they'd hear the flute, they'd become so mad to be with Krishna, they'd break their meditation, start beating their heads against the rocks, just go, pulling their hair out. Where is that sound? What is it doing to my heart? You know, Krishna could play on the heart of every living entity, just exactly playing on their heart strings. So that is something which was there for a select few great liberated devotees who came down with Krishna, who joined from different universes and were integrated in the pastimes of Krishna. But now Lord Chaitanya wanted to come down and actually distribute that information, give people the taste for that same ecstasy, for that same loving devotion for Krishna, and just absorb yourself in pure transcendental loving devotion to the Lord, which is on a much, much higher level. It's like people complain, just as like a perverted, I don't know if it's a good example, like a perverted. Some people get married and they say, well, actually just married for my money, he doesn't really love me, but married me because I'm rich, you know. It's a good, you know, husband or a good wife, but actually they just want to, you know, if they didn't have money, they'd all split. As compared to someone who's, you know, attached out of love or something in the material world, giving way to the one king abdicated his throne to marry some American actress or something. These are like perverted reflections because it's due to material attraction, so it's hard to... But at least he can say one thing. His attachment was very strong to give up being a king and everything. You know, whether it was, you know, any value to it, that's another thing. But I just in a point of view of attachment, just the, taking that attachment. So where is one's attachment more for God? If it's just a formal thing, hallelujah, or whether one is really running madly after God, you know, trying to actually completely enraptured by His personal qualities. I mean, that's a realm which has never even been exposed, I don't think. I haven't heard of it. I've heard hints that there are some esoteric Christian sects that are a little more into this, but I've never got any direct information. I just heard there might be one group of monks that are trying that. But I don't know any... I don't know if it's true. If it was, it'd be interesting, and at least we could show that there's some tradition in Christianity. I heard there is a tradition like that, but I don't know anything about it. Maybe someone can tell me later. But this is definitely, even in India, this is something very special in the world. And Lord Chaitanya is giving that to the people. So we had to also dive into the ocean, give up our desire for simply mundane sense gratification, and practice regulated devotional service, and eventually we can start to appreciate. We can start to appreciate this higher principles of spiritual life. And by the mercy of Nitya Gaur, we can get a drop of that nectar. Kripa Bindu Diya. You know, or as we say, Nitya Pada Kamala, there's also another Nitya Pada Kamala. What's that one? Give me a drop of your... If I get a drop of your the nectar from your lotus feet, that'll flood me. So, the gopis are great devotees, some of them were great saints, great yogis, great, who have developed the highest type of devotion for Krishna, and so then they were allowed to take birth in gopis' bodies, or to manifest spiritual forms as gopi. Actually, they're not material women. This is a spiritual form they're given because that form is able to reciprocate nicely this type of devotional service with Krishna. Just like if someone might have been a Mataji but has a very parental feeling for Krishna, maybe manifest a form as like a Nanda Maharaj or something. Maybe if some, in the outset of some young girl feels attracted to see the Krishna form, that might be initial some impetus for devotional service, but it's not healthy in the long run because it can create offenses by bringing in material concepts. In India, there's a group called Sahajiyas. They're called Saki Beki. And they consider, it was kind of shocking, you know. I told this to some devotees, they're kind of very amazing.
to see this. Because you go to this temple and, you know, there's a Mataji doing aarti. You know, you see them offering aarti. When they turn around to offer the ghee, they got a big beard. There's a lady, actually it's a man wearing a sari. But during Chaturmas they don't cut their beards, you know, they do all this. They're not transvestites, you know, but what they think is that I want to be a gopi and serving Krishna, so I should start now already practicing. So they speak in a falsetto voice and they're wearing saris and things. This is rejected by the bona fide acharyas, because it's not that Krishna is attracted by some mundane womanly form, you know, therefore, especially when a man dressed up in a sari, I mean. That this is a particular type of devotion. When you have that type of devotion and that particular intensity, then internally one starts to develop that outlook, and then when you go back to the spiritual world, you're given the appropriate form for that type of devotion. Not that, you know, somebody wants to be Mother Yasoda, you know, he starts wearing a sari and trying to breastfeed a doll of Krishna or something necessarily. So you have a Sakhi Bekhi, there's 13 upasampradayas that have kind of deviated from Lord Chaitanya's path. They're really into these pastimes. But what happens is that they start speculating and they start to just concoct things. So you get this Gauranga Nagari, you get owls, bowls, korta, and you get the Sakhi Bekhis and Sahajiyas, which is, instead of, all these things are given, and so, wow, this is far out. I mean, this is really wonderful. And then, but they want to like kind of jump the gun and just like dive into the pastimes before they, but it's not, you can't storm the gates of heaven, so to speak. You can't just dive in that sense. These are there, if we're attracted, we like to understand deeper in a real spiritual way what are these transcendental pastimes. But the means is given here by Srila Prabhupada. In the purports, it's themselves that, I don't know if I can just find it here. The erratic principles of amorous love reflected in mixed material values are perverted reflections of the reality of spirit, but one cannot understand the reality unless one is sufficiently educated in the spiritual science. It has to be a process of, and then Prabhupada also says, by executing devotional service under the regulated principles, one can become very highly elevated and then begin to appreciate the dealings of pure love under the management of Yoga Maya. Those under the spell of material energy cannot at all appreciate the activities of Yoga Maya, for a conditioned soul can hardly understand the pure reciprocation between the Lord and His devotee. So the principle authorizes we follow regulated devotional service. And sometimes while we're doing our regulated devotional service by the special mercy of Nitai Gaur or the Guru or the Vaishnavas, some festival day, something, we feel a little bit of spiritual inspiration coming down from the spiritual world. We get a little taste of bliss, of ecstasy. And then, you know, if we can just like multiply that by trillions and trillions of times, unlimited times, like a drop compared to the ocean, then we could understand when we're actually completely liberated in our spiritual form, what it is like to reciprocate direct loving sentiments and dealings with Krishna without, you know, when we don't have a material mind that after a little bit of blissful thoughts immediately goes back to the dumps because of so much mundane contamination. Just like Lochan Das Thakur said that in spite of all this mercy, but my mind, you know, I'm so I have a mind which is not at all attracted. As soon as we leave class, the mind wants to go off and think, well, now do this, do that, something else. The mind, you know, is really, if our mind would be spiritualized and purified and also attracted, then how wonderful it would be. So he's lamenting like that. Maybe the mind will catch on that if the mind was be attracted to Krishna consciousness, it wouldn't have to go to hell and it wouldn't have to suffer so many bad karma. Whatever, however the mind would be so blissful, would be so happy to be absorbed in this ecstatic pastimes and understanding. Mind is the last refuge of the material consciousness. So these are very important verses. Very difficult. I think it's very difficult to explain properly. And these pastimes are so wonderful. It says that, you know, it's like a bird. You can try to fly up each bird to its capacity. A sparrow can fly so high. An eagle can fly, you know, real high. A gorilla can fly right to the spiritual world. So according to our capacity, we try to explain these things. But Krishna is not limited by our ability to explain Him. His glories are unlimited. To my limited capacity, I try to explain it. Any questions? Raganuga Bhakti Das. Spontaneous devotion. This is what we want. Then we can appreciate all these transcendental pastimes directly, not just theoretically. If you could bring it down to more of a succinct question, it would be easier.
Well, the people who worship God, Krishna, different incarnations, do they actually worship according to their situation, whether according to their own attraction, kind of that?
That may be that some people naturally identify with a particular form of the Lord because they agree with a particular morality or the particular qualities that form is promoting through its own activities. For instance, surely that some people don't understand the pastimes of Krishna. They can easily relate with the pastimes of Lord Ram, which are very correct in terms of morality, acts as a perfect king, one wife, and I mean, everything is real simple, real straightforward, even by material moral standards. So a lot of people, they can identify with Ram, and they get Krishna, they don't understand, so they try to avoid Krishna. Then in Gujarat, the people, they're devoted to Krishna, generally speaking. But some, Balabhacharya didn't give a very detailed explanation about, or didn't really, as far as I understand, didn't give like an in-depth kind of clarification about Krishna's amorous pastimes. And just promoted Pushti Marga, which was Krishna as a small baby. And generally Krishna is worshipped in that mood, whereas one takes Krishna like my son. In the house or following Pushti Marg. In South India, people don't understand Krishna so much. They worship Krishna, but as being expansions of Narayana and many places, and so they mainly focus on Narayana because the Lord is all majestic, more in the Christian point of view, all majestic, all powerful, all pervasive, the origin of everything, in a very formal aspect that they can relate with, that God is like that. And he comes as Krishna and Ram, but they don't get into it. They just go, well, that's the Lord, and this is like expansions from Him. They understand that way. So you find in India that people have different conceptions. Maybe they accept. I don't know. This is an individual matter. Why someone accepts? Someone might be accepting a particular conception because that's where they're really devoted to. Or as you say, it may be because of social consideration that someone is accepting a particular form because he can relate with it, he can understand it. If the latter is the case, the Lord Chaitanya's declared purpose here is to smash through that. Smash through mundane materialistic concepts of morality and in regard to absolute truth. Let spontaneous devotion prevail over that. Not Lord Chaitanya was the most strict moralist. He wouldn't allow his brahmacharis or anyone, if they just went and talked to a woman in an improper way, he would ban them from his association, like Choto Haridas. So, I mean, he was very, very strict. It wasn't that he was in any way permitted any kind of immorality in anyone's personal life, but that mundane morality in relation to our devotion to Krishna, if that's an obstacle, then he wanted to smash that in our relation to Krishna. That we shouldn't be limited by that Krishna is God. He's the Supreme Lord. We can't put our mundane morality as a limitation on Krishna. It's like Krishna can go and steal butter and give it out to his friends. And according to mundane morality, Krishna, no one should steal. But Krishna owns everything. He can take anything he wants. What's the question of theft? It's just a game he's playing to increase the pastimes with his devotees. Right. If the king wants to put on a big drama and he plays a part in the drama that he's stealing, who's going to complain? Right. But when Krishna puts on his drama, he doesn't even let the players know it's a drama. They all think it's for real. That's what's so far out. He's always putting on a drama, but the drama is eternal. And so in one sense, there is the reality. It is reality. But the players, they don't see beyond. Krishna can see beyond. He may be playing the part as a little boy, but if some demon comes, okay, he has to adapt with this. Okay, so then he can, if he wants to, he can then revert back to his Vishnu, potent Vishnu form, Vishnu consciousness. Vishnu is there to kill demons if they attack. And the Vishnu part of Krishna deals with the demons. So he can adapt, but you know, the devotees, they're just fixed at Krishna. He's my son. He's lifting up the Govardhan Hill, and Mother Yasoda is thinking, you know, my little boy, you know, even for a minute they say, well, this is pretty amazing. How is he doing that? But after a while they forget it. Doesn't matter anyway. Jagannath Misra was scolding Lord Chaitanya. A dream, some Brahmin came in his dream, started preaching, you don't know your son is the Supreme Person of Godhead. How are you yelling at him? How are you scolding him? And then for in the dream, then Jagannath Misra said, wow, really? So yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then he woke up. He said, anyway, these dreams, I don't care who my son is. He's my son, and I have to see that he's brought up properly. I can't, you know, this. Yoga Maya just put him under again. You know? So, the pastime of Lord Chaitanya wanted that in relation to Krishna. We could, if that was the case, we could transcend this type of, you know, vision. You may not be able to relate because of some mundane vision, but then by chanting and by purification, then when you actually can understand how these transcendental pastimes are there, you know, I mean, if you, some people are very attracted to childhood pastimes. They love the little children, and so they're more into it. You know, maybe you haven't had children yet. Maybe it'll change after you have kids. But that's not the real, that's not the criterion, you know. That's not really, I agree with you, that's not the criterion for our, what type of devotion we have for Krishna. Someone is sentimental with kids or someone isn't, so then therefore they like or they don't like the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Because we may be so covered up with material contamination that we're not in the, that you can, you may even be a mother of Krishna in the spiritual world, but you're so covered up that you gotta unload about, you know, so many coverings before that real characteristic of your devotion to Krishna becomes manifested. So right now, you know, your like or dislike is based on a more superficial, you know, possibly. Depends on each person's purification, how pure they are in terms of how covered they are. So as we do devotional service, we start uncovering, then naturally a certain inclination comes. Yet it is possible that one may develop a natural inclination to serve Krishna. Like there was one great devotee and he would be serving Krishna in the mood like he's a little child. And he'd go and beg and he'd bring back the food and cook it. And then sometimes see the deity running around his ashram and he'd run after the deity and grab it and take it down the deity to the ocean and or the river and bathe the deity and bring back and said, don't run around anymore and cook it. And he was in the spiritual world, you know, I mean actually his relationship had nothing to do with, but people were like, what is the person doing? Why does he take his deity down under his arm to the river and wash it? So then actually Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's godbrother was like that. He was really on a far-out platform of devotional service. I don't know. I mean, it's, and so sometimes his disciples complained, what about, see, only Gorkhashore Das Bhai had two disciples, Bhakti Siddhanta Sar Thakur was Goshti Anandi, and when Bhajanandi was liberated, whose name was Bansi Banan Das Babaji. And so they asked about Bansi Banan Das Babaji, and he said, well, he's a Mahabhagavat, he's liberated, so you can't judge his activities like that. Or beyond, you know, there are real devotees that do manifest these far out pastimes with their deities or with Krishna, but then there's, you know, for one of those there's a million bogus things. So for preachers, Bhakti Siddhanta said that just try to suppress your emotions, try to just keep, because it's too easy for people to imitate or get. It's better to not show these things because it'll be imitated by unscrupulous people to attract the sentiments of simple people, and in this way religion will be polluted by irreligiosity and cheating. But there are certain devotees that are really, just like, you know, the six Goswamis running in the forest of Vrindavan calling out, hey Radhe, hey Krishna, forgetting everything, just thinking that Krishna is appearing in some distant tree. I mean, they're to become immersed in the mode of the gopis for sometimes they're very sober sages translating, writing great books. Calamity?
When they develop spontaneous devotion for Krishna, at that point, May they give up following the rules and regulations?
As long as we're in the material world, externally we're supposed to try to follow the rules and regulations so as to be a good example to others. Well, there's many symptoms, internal and external. That's explained in the Madhya Lila 8-9 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
This summer we were distributing the 10th canto.
Anyone have any questions? The chapati rollers? Go and ask the chapati rollers if they have any questions. Nobody in there?
We were distributing the 10th canto, I think part 5 or 6, but it's about the Krishna stealer for the gopis clubbing, like that, all those mess times. And we were a little mental towards the end, wondering if it would be detrimental to people's spiritual life because, you know, they wouldn't really understand how to look at it in a lusty way. And then people were distributing to
I mean, some materialist gets the Bhagavatam, even if he commits an offense, he's better off than not getting the Bhagavatam at all. I mean, even if he has a misconception, I mean, if he tears it up or something, it's not good. But I mean, I hope that in the purports, the things will be properly explained.
If someone actually reads all the purports, but if they just look at the captions of the pictures, you know, most of them actually read them.
Well, look at the cat in the pictures, they probably think, wow, this is pretty far out. You might read the book. I don't know. It's not normally our frontline book that we distribute. But I wouldn't want to make an offense by saying that that we shouldn't distribute them, because we distribute the Krishna book, which also has his pastimes. You know, Prabhupada explained it very carefully.
There's probably a question in Latin for the material. So Prabhupada was doing Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first 5 minutes of the night, the same bus, like a sweet ball. Anyone who likes sweet. Which is the second time, you know, consideration of the ultimate saying on the willows, and just if they get the bottom.
To publish the books, we have to publish at least 10,000 volumes each to make it economical. So someone has to buy the 10,000. And if they purchase the book, if they read the book, they're going to benefit. Some person got a 12th canto here in Atlanta and he came back and said, I want to buy all of the books, or the small piece of here. Maybe someone, I was, one time a newspaper said, we do a review of your Chaitanya Charitamrita in 75 when it was first published. So I gave them the Anti Lila 5 and the Adi Lila 1. Then they, the two, then they gave it to a Christian priest to do the review. And he read the book, then later he declined. He said, I can't do it. It's too heavy.
There's this one Hindu shriner, and I'm really glad you did it, thank you, because I was thinking about visiting it, but I was, you know, I mean, my devotional service so messed up really anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. But still, I was thinking.
Trying to get it together.
He was an incarnation called Shakti Vaishavata. And it's this one deity that he was in one lifetime, and then he shows another one of his deities. And people actually go there. I don't know, Bhagavad or somebody, they know something about it. But they had some one temple they didn't know. But they spoke to the Vaishnavas, they had like big sockets and then.
You'd have to give me some for one of their folders. I can tell what it is.
Okay.
Your description is.
Yeah, just saying that he's a Shakti Vaishnavatar, and they all of his disciples accept him as that. And he's like a sannyasi, wears like the traditional sapphire robes.
He's alive, no?
He's alive.
He's having that Swami Ramayana.
No.
He's not alive, no.
Wait,
Swami Narayan passed away.
It's right down here. It's right on. I can tell you exactly where it is.
And we discuss it later. And someone had a question? Madhavanandi? Mohanandi? Mahanandi? You had your hand up before. Maybe you scratch it. Okay then?
Yeah.